You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
But I have been told that I am supposed to hate this movie.
Oh, you didn't?
And I hate this movie because I tried my hardest to hate this movie, and I still couldn't.
My childhood, fucking, it ruined.
Yeah.
You know what? I think Kate McKinnon and Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig and Leslie Jones all personally gathered every single copy, VHS copy, the only copy that I recognize, of Ghostbusters, and just vagina'd all over them.
I mean, the nerve of Kate McKinnon to be maybe my favorite movie character that I've seen on screen this year. The fucking nerve.
Okay. Oh.
So before we get too into our outrage, this is Holly Suspect Reviews. I am Elliot.
JC.
I forgot who I am. Sarah. My childhood has been raped.
So we're reviewing the Ghostbusters reboot, but sort of
you
a soft reboot.
You guys may have heard they're rebooting the Ghostbusters.
What? Wait.
And unlike some reviewers, we actually went and saw it.
Yeah. Yes.
We're not refusing to see it like some douches that... Well, because just fuck that guy. Was he the video game nerd? He's like, I'm just not going to see it. Well, you don't get to fucking have an opinion.
I just watched 2 seconds of the Fall Out Boy video for it, and I automatically judged the movie. I give it 0.
See, I think I'm the only one here that's going to be like, I sort of like Fall Out Boy, so I'm not mad at that song.
I didn't hate the song either.
But if
JC hates the song.
I do. And thankfully, it only comes up in the movie once, and it's at a fairly... appropriate time. Like I thought it fit in well with the time.
It did fit. It was a good musical cue. And in terms of the music, if you want to see something really cool that's not the Fall Out Boy music video, a group of Japanese female comedians did a music video of the first original Ghostbusters song that is great. It's like completely 80s. But we're gonna jump right into this movie review into the plot because I'm getting divergent and like Chris is like looking at me like, come on, man. Get to it.
Stop looking at me. Talking to the mic.
Okay.
When has Chris ever summarized the plot like in an early fashion?
I try.
Well, we got so much to get to. Like, we have to talk about the movie, and then we got to talk about the pre-outrage, and then how great, at least in my opinion, it's going to be to sit down this weekend and just watch people bicycle pedal back. Or just deny.
See, that's the thing. I don't think anybody's going to bicycle pedal back, but I am looking forward to, maybe more than I've looked forward to anything all year, reading angry fanboys trying to pick this movie apart without having seen it, first of all. And just, we'll get to that.
But just in terms, look, so we're going to try our best to keep this as spoiler-free as possible.
It's going to be really hard.
But if you do want to go completely in without any kind of remote spoilers, basically if you want the Randy from Rose Galaxy Comics and Games around Rock Texas level of no spoilers, don't listen to this review.
Just cut off your own ears.
And I only say that because...
Or cover your eyes so you don't hear this.
And I only say this because I like Randy.
People who saw the movie get it.
Yeah.
And I say that because I like Randy. He's one of my friends. But that man is like... He's like the Wile E. Coyote when it comes to spoilers. Because he will get on Facebook every fucking night after Game of Thrones, right after it airs, and be like, somebody spoiled me. It's like, you say this every week. So let's just if you don't want to listen to it, don't listen.
Somebody does spoil him every week.
Then he needs to get the fuck off Facebook.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
20 minutes
after. To take Corey's advice, get the fuck off Facebook.
Okay.
But, so go ahead.
Ghostbusters.
So it starts off with, we're following Kristen Wiig. She is up for tenure at Columbia University. And she's just going about her day. Somebody walks in and they say, hey, did you write this book?
The lovely, I can't think of the actor's name, but he's in like every single Christopher Guest movie.
Yeah, I don't see him here.
Come on, Elliot. You're supposed to be the new Chris.
Oh, I don't remember that guy's name. He was like a bit character in the first part.
Anyway.
But so she has to get in contact with a person she's estranged with, Abby Yates, who is deep into the paranormal world, and Kristen Wiig's been trying to run away from it for about 10, 15 years now.
Because she's a respected scientist, and respected scientists don't believe in the paranormal.
Yeah.
They don't?
Even if the evidence leads that way, it's like, look, I don't want to get that science, that paranormal goo on my science, so leave it up, let's leave it alone. So, but she meets up with Abby, and then she meets Kate McKinnon, because Holtzman works up with Abby Yates, and that's Melissa McCarthy, and so they meet, and all of a sudden, paranormal shit starts happening.
Oh, shit.
And who are you going to call? And that's where the plot goes from there. Yeah. And anything more is going to sort of be a spoiler, because that's just the basic setup.
It starts out similarly enough to the Ghostbusters movie. You've got an old mansion. There's a tour going through it. One guy is eventually left alone. The guy who plays one of the nerdy guys from Silicon Valley.
So good.
And then, similar to the opening of Ghostbusters, he's a ghost. Ghostbusters come in. Now they know that ghosts are real, and that's kind of where it takes off from there. The opening is a good tribute, I think. The way it's very similar. You see the ghosts, and then you hear the classic music, and then the movie starts, and that's, I think, the perfect note for it to start on.
Well, like that, what they're doing is really smart. Is they're doing aspect to aspect homage, where they're like, look.
It's pronounced homage.
Homage. I knew that sounded too smart for me.
Homage.
Homage. I'm a lawyer. Homage, I am not a film critic. I am a film critic. Shit. But basically, they match all those scenes so that they can give you that homage without... Without going too overboard. So one of the things that they avoid in this movie that I feel like they avoid really effectively is they don't try to remake the characters.
Right.
They don't say, well, this is your Egon, this is your Venkman, this is your Zedmore. Each character may have flavors of each of the characters from the past, but they are their own distinctive thing.
Yeah.
Thank God, because Bill Murray's character was insufferable. I fucking said it. I like Bill Murray.
Every 80s kid, like, idol.
Oh, and there's a reason for that, because people in the 80s were assholes.
Well, that isn't...
Especially Chris.
But that's Bill Murray's entire career.
Yes, and that's why Bill Murray is the symbol for the chive.
Okay, well, let's just get back. So, but do we agree that, like, they didn't try to say, well, this is Ed Moore?
No. The whole movie was like that. I kept expecting it to be kind of a beat-for-beat sort of remake or a lot of winking and nodding, like, oh, remember this from the original? And it did that maybe 5 times throughout the whole movie, but it was its own thing, and each of the four main cast members were their own characters.
Yeah.
And they were each fleshed out characters.
Yep. They actually had arcs.
Yeah, they had arcs
and backstories. Like, you understand why Kristen Wiig's character and Melissa McCarthy's character have been friends for so long, and you even understand sort of their motivation in wanting to prove that these things are real. That's something that never really is explored in the original Ghostbusters. In fact, there are even scenes where they say as soon as they discover ghosts, they talk about how rich they're going to be, and the first thing they do when they bust a ghost is they charge a hotel $5,000.
Yeah.
You know what?
There's a reason that was in a great 80s movie.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I feel like, you know, I was thinking about this at the end of the movie, and I think one of the things that, and we might as well just dive into it, I think one of the things that really freed them up by having an all-female cast and it being a reboot is I feel like that gave them the freedom to make them their own characters. I feel like if you made a reboot or even a continuation with even a mixed, like, you know, male and female, the impulse would have been so strong. The expectation would have been so strong that you got to have your Egon, you got to have your Venkman. And if they cast like Ryan Reynolds as the new Venkman, well, Ryan Reynolds didn't match up. Well, that's what people were saying a few years ago. They were saying like Ryan Reynolds as Venkman and Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill. That was sort of and then Kevin Hart or some shit. They got to have a black guy. So, yeah.
That's true. That is what would have happened. I don't necessarily know if making them all females, if that was the reason. Because
I don't think it was the reason, but it gave them a lot of freedom.
Because they certainly weren't written, pointing out the fact that it's a group made of all four females. And there are 2 times, Melissa McCarthy at one point calls them ladies, but that makes sense. And I think there's only at one instance where one guy yells to them, you shoot your proton pack like a girl.
Well, without giving too much away, there's...
I don't know if we can...
There, no,
Okay.
You don't know what I'm going to say, okay. Elliot.
You know what? Sorry. I'm sorry.
A woman is talking.
I know.
A woman is talking.
I'm sorry.
Go back into the garage and fix the car. So there are no characters in this film who point out their ladiness.
Yeah.
Charles Dance is in this as the, I guess, dean of Columbia or mm-hmm. whatever. And the fact that she's a female physicist doesn't really come up. It's more that she believes in this paranormal stuff that yeah. bothers him. But the only character who points out their femaleness and makes fun of them for it is the villain. And the villain is the archetype of all these fucking douchebags
online.
Yeah, it's
really fucking harsh.
It's so fucking perfect. I don't know who they... We're bad at this without Chris. Whoever they cast as the villain...
Let me see. I got him.
Plays him as a...
Neil Casey.
Neil Casey. He's a pasty loner yeah. who everyone... in real life thinks is a freak thinks is a weirdo and a creep and nobody likes him and he doesn't have any friends and he is the perfect villain for this. So instead of having some kind of, you know, menacing ghost, it's this dude. This little wormy dude.
And I'm not saying he's wormy, but he definitely spends a lot of time on Reddit.
He does.
It's like,
no, he spends a lot of time on 4chan.
Yeah, yeah. He's on 4chan/poll/RB all the time.
I don't recognize anything he's been in.
It's just like, it makes me feel like they definitely knew what they were doing when they were like, if we're going to cast this, this is what we're going to get. Mm-hmm. Because, or maybe they just punched it up during the production when they saw the backlash. But it's so cutting. Yeah. And that's what I feel like it gives you the danger of giving comedians fucking time to prepare. It's like challenging Batman to a fight. It's like you're giving people who all their job is all day is to make jokes time to make jokes about you and your all your friends.
Responding to the backlash, I think you could. It felt like Punch Up that they went back and did it a couple of times, and I felt like it was maybe one too many times. The first time they did it, I felt like it was perfect. Second time, it seemed appropriate, but then I feel like the third time. It was a little too on the nose, but cool. I mean that's a minor.
The whole thing that problem. Happens at the end during the climax, I think was obviously that had to be planned way in advance because that was the climax of the film, and they were basically like, "Hey, this is what these guys think they are."
Yeah.
They think that I don't want to give anything away, but they think they are this thing, and when they are given the power on the internet, that's how they envision themselves.
Yeah, and if you look at the main villain's plot, it all surrounds that he owns, like he controls the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to bring them up, and whoever is against him. It doesn't understand them, and I'm going to be the one that ushers in this age and all that stuff.
And he also talks about he doesn't like the way the world is changing or evolving, and so he seeks to clean it out and start from scratch.
Doesn't he say something about it not being as good as the original or something to that effect?
All ghosts matter.
Yeah. Yeah. So that makes me think that they really knew what they were doing even before the backlash started, that they were really trying to say, look, you know, we're glad you like this franchise,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't just belong to you. It belongs to everybody.
Yep.
And look, nobody's going to come and take your copy. I have every episode of Real Ghostbusters on a really nice set with the firehouse, and I have both Ghostbusters movies. Nobody's going to come take those from me if I didn't like this movie. And I feel like some of these people need to fucking ease their brakes a little bit and just calm the fuck down and say, look, if you don't like this movie, that's fine. Go watch Extreme Ghostbusters, Real Ghostbusters, 1, 2, read the IDW comic, read the DC comic. Like, there's so much shit out there.
Go watch anything from the 80s, and you'll be fine. You get your nostalgia kick.
Yeah. Like, you can go to fucking, like, there's a restaurant in Austin if you want to feel like the 80s called Twisted Root that's basically dedicated to Caddyshack. Like, so they got things, like, everything. If you want it, it's there. So just because one group gets something that you have... and they also get it doesn't mean yours is somehow less.
But
they're making a second pie. They're not cutting the original pie in half.
And this is a movie for everybody.
For everybody.
I think this is more accessible than the original. It's updated, and just because it's an all-female cast doesn't mean that nobody can relate to it. I mean, the audience we were sitting with, granted they were the free screening audience, was pretty much half and half, male and female. And I can definitely see little boys and little girls enjoying this.
And I'm going to undercut all of the progressive stuff I just said, but by saying as teenage Elliot would have loved the shit out of this movie because Kate McKinnon,
woo, yeah,
and Cecily
I'm sorry,
Lynch,
she only bats for our team.
I can still admire. I don't need to know I have a shot. I don't think I have a shot if she didn't. Like, it's just like, okay. So like, if you can just get past your own shit, you'll enjoy this movie. So
while you bring up Kate McKinnon's performance, I think in general, like, I don't know how often I can't think off the top of my head how often we've seen Chris Hemsworth do comedy.
He was so good,
and
we haven't even talked about him.
And like, I don't know how often we've seen him do comedy, but he fucking nailed it.
He's a natural.
And
he plays this like really dumb ditzy character, and he plays it perfectly, and it's funny every time. It never misses the mark.
And it's jokes that if he wasn't so good at it would fall flat. Like, one of the best jokes is at the very beginning where they're hiring him as the receptionist, and he has these glasses on. You're like, oh, he has glasses. And then he pokes his fingers through where his lenses should be, and they were like, wait a second, we're gonna stop. You don't have glasses, you just have frames. It's like, yeah, they were getting dirty, so I took out the frames.
I didn't notice that.
Well, if you miss that, like, it's just constant.
No,
I
got it after they clarified the joke. But
I was like, wait a second, there's no glare on his glasses, and then he poked his hand through him. I'm like, okay. But like, there's so many, and then there's so many good jokes from I wanted to call him Kevin Smith for some reason. That's weird. Kevin. Like, I think my mind auto-completes Kevin to Kevin Smith. There's so many good jokes, and then when he gets to the end and he really has to carry a lot of the comedy because the main four are really devoted to action at that point. He did such a great job.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just, and, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about, and I don't want to spoil, but there's obviously some cameos, but really effective cameos.
Yes.
Some of the most effective cameos I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I only thought one was really stupid. The concert.
Yeah.
Oh, that was dumb. That was pointless. And you also saw it coming a mile away.
It's also almost as dated as the original Ghostbusters itself.
Yeah. It's not quite old enough to be nostalgic, but it's too old to be current.
Yeah.
Isn't that Uncanny Valley?
Yeah, it's in that Uncanny Valley of not nostalgia.
It's like, I haven't forgotten you enough yet.
But yeah, I think, so, dumb fanboys, your gods have signed off on this, except for one. There was one main cast from the original Ghostbusters who does not make a cameo.
Because he's
dead.
I can tell you why he didn't make a cameo.
Why?
He retired from acting.
So?
That's not true, actually.
I thought he did. Okay, well then, I don't know.
He just didn't get cast.
Okay. Well, honey, they're
working on the SCTV reboot.
Okay, well then maybe he had a falling out or something. Because
oops, did I spoil who's not in it? Sorry.
I mean, it's a very small part. Sort of shrunk him down. We can talk about a few of the problems with the movie. Just because we have been talking so great about, you know, this is good, this is good, this is good. I would say my biggest problem with the movie is that the pacing towards the middle really gets bad. It's, and JC was, we were talking about before the review, and you were talking about how they sort of just let him riff.
There's a lot of moments where, and I think this is typical of Paul Feig, I don't know how to say his name.
I think it's Feig. His mama named Feig.
Just don't forget the I in it.
Because here you've got four, and in a scene with Chris Hemsworth, you've got five extremely talented people who have proven to be very funny, and so a lot of the second act is just putting them in a scene together and just letting them go. And so, yeah, there are times in the second act where it tends to drag. They haven't really fought ghosts for a while.
Yeah, the story just sort of stops.
But I mean, I I mean, it works. For the most part, it works a lot of the time because Kate McKinnon
sort of carries it at a certain point.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, like, we're distracted because the cats are having, like, a Spock versus Kirk death fight right now.
One cat is a Ghostbusters fanboy, and the other one is us.
Clearly Monkey is the old one.
And it's the cutest fight I've ever seen.
Yeah,
because Monkey's just like, don't start no shit.
Okay, anyway, Sarah, why'd you hate the movie?
I hated it because there were so many vaginas, and I didn't know where to put my face.
I don't
in those vaginas.
Oh, I think you lost me somewhere.
See, because women, when they pleasure other women, they use faces and other parts as well. I couldn't say like I put my dick because I don't have a dick.
I wasn't thinking.
Anyway, I liked it a lot. Should we go into final thoughts?
Final thoughts.
I wanted the last word, but that's okay.
I'll do final thoughts first, then.
Okay, all right, okay.
I really like this movie. I don't think it's perfect. I think it's at least as good, and this may be damning with faint praise. I think anybody who tells me, like, I really like Ghostbusters 2. Anybody tells me that you really like Ghostbusters 2, but you don't like number 3, then I'm going to have a problem with you because you're not valuing this fairly.
I watched it this past weekend. Ghostbusters 2 is solid.
Yeah, I watched it last night because I wanted to have a proper context. Like, I watched Ghostbusters 2, I watched Ghostbusters the day before, and I watched some of the real Ghostbusters cartoons just so I could, like, fairly judge it and I wasn't looking at it through nostalgia. So, only thing I can say, you know, Kate McKinnon is amazing in this. I think Leslie Jones is really good. Kristen Wiig is very, very good. Melissa McCarthy, honestly, is a little underwhelming. They dialed her back so much that I feel like they lost a little bit there. Because, like, I think what they were trying to do is they didn't want this to turn into a Melissa McCarthy movie. Mm-hmm. So they dialed her back to where she was more of an instrument in the symphony and not the entire solo.
She was the straight man.
Yeah, and it was weird to see her as a straight man.
I'm a straight woman! I mean, I don't think she was actually straight in that...
Actually, Kristen Wiig and there was a... Like, I was thinking there might be some kind of undercurrent.
Kate McKinnon and Melissa McCarthy's character, I'm pretty sure there were a couple.
Yeah.
I'm pretty
I thought it was Kristen Wiig and
no, Melissa McCarthy. No, she was all up on Hemsworth's dick.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I sort of like... those are the only jokes that really, after a certain point, fell flat on me. So, like, my mind auto-erased them. Hmm. But yeah, and only other criticism I can have is that... And this is something that's not fair to the movie... But because like when I watched Ghostbusters when I first saw it, I was 5, and so bright lights, exciting. Put this way, this is how much Ghostbusters means to me. My last name is very long, and when I learned how to spell my last name, I was watching Ghostbusters. I was watching real Ghostbusters. So every time I spell my last name, I think of that Ghostbusters episode each and every time. So I'll be like writing something for work, and I'm like, yep, I remember that exact scene because that's when I learned how to spell my name. So that all gives context that when I used to watch Ghostbusters when I was 5, I would get excited.
Elliot, your last name is Lee.
I wish it was. But I'm not very smart. The only thing I would say about this movie that really bothered me was that, but it's not fair, is that there was only about 3 scenes that really gave me that sense. But when it did, it really, really hit. So for all those reasons, I got to give this an 8. Kate McKinnon is my new favorite Ghostbuster of all time out of 10.
Yeah.
I'm going to go buy the Holtzman action figure after this review. That's going to happen. I'm going to Walmart right now.
Oh, me too. Walmart's open 24/7,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. Walmart's
We are having a Ghostbusters emergency.
I went into this... I'm confident that I went into this with as open a mind as possible. It was hard to go into it with an open mind with all the negativity surrounding it. And so I don't think that necessarily lowered the bar. I think... I looked at it from an objective standpoint in that you've got 4... I didn't know much about Leslie Jones, so like from my standpoint, you've got 3 extremely talented, really funny women, and from what little I've seen of Leslie Jones, she was really funny. And so I had complete confidence in the movie, I had complete confidence in Paul Feig, and every expectation was met. I didn't expect Kate McKinnon to be as amazing as she was. I didn't expect Chris Hemsworth to be as funny as he was. But nothing about this disappointed me at all. Even the length of it, like when the pacing does kind of slow down, I could see how that might bother some people. But I think there's enough here to to satisfy people throughout the entire runtime of the movie. I thought all the effects were great. I thought, it's just a fun movie. Like I said earlier, I'm looking forward to really angry fanboys just trying to pick this thing apart.
The one of us comment section.
I'm looking forward to the Dr. Nerdlerb article about this.
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen.
Yeah. And, I wasn't expecting this to be maybe one of my favorite movies of the year, but I think it might be. Just because I pull a lot of value into the things I can rewatch and a lot of the things I have fun in watching. And this was just fun. I had a big old dumb smile on my face pretty much throughout the entire thing, throughout the entire runtime. I would give it 8.5 split wontons out of 10.
It's only a carrot.
Okay.
And whenever a recurring joke like that nails every time, it's...
Yes.
Because those tend to get old fast, like, and that recurring joke...
This movie is going to be quoted. Like, not as much as the first Ghostbusters, but it will be quoted, like, 20 years from now.
Yeah. Only men need warning lights. Or what is it? Only dudes need...
Only dudes
safety
need
lights.
Safety lights. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to post that. That's going to be, like, on everything
that should be
now.
A bumper sticker.
Bumper sticker! Yeah. As a woman... I...
Oh, God.
The eyes just roll.
Well, you know, I'm just...
Well, actually, let me tip my fedora at you, m'lady. I am so happy that this movie got made. I'm so happy that we live in an age where four extremely talented comedians can get together and be in this movie. Is it a perfect movie? No, but I even feel bad just making that kind of disclaimer there, because the problem with this movie is that it's not perfect, and people who have their doubts going in because it's supposedly, you know, another dumb remake. Why can't they make original characters? Blah, 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 blah. Well, they did make original characters. They just used this title and this franchise and this, you know...
The world.
The world. This universe where these types of ghosts exist. And they created their own characters. But that is not going to be good enough for the video game nerd, or whatever the fuck that guy's name was, of the world. And they're going to use whatever negative points can be said about this movie to highlight how women aren't funny, or women-led movies don't make enough box office revenue, or how progressives and social justice warriors and people with trigger warnings are ruining sacred properties, e.g. the Ghostbusters, which, by the way, where the fuck were these people, like, I don't know.
Transformers?
Yeah, like Transformers, Ninja Turtles.
G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe. Fucking Marlon Wayans is G.I. Joe.
Battleship?
Yeah.
Battleship? I mean... You don't see this kind of outrage, even on, like, more hollowed nerd ground, like the Avengers movies. People weren't like, why are they making movies of this? Why don't they just make their own characters and titles? There was no outcry for that kind of thing. But because we have women... do not fucking deny it. If you go on this comment section and say that it's not because they're women, you are a fucking liar. So I'm just gonna say it.
Or you're not fully aware of
You are in denial.
Yeah.
At best.
It won't happen, but I want to see at least one person do kind of walk it back and be like, you know what, guys, I was wrong.
That would be amazing. I would love it if someone said, you know what, I wanted it to be bad because I thought that women couldn't be funny, but I saw this and this changed my mind. That would be fucking amazing. That would make my year. But it's probably not going to happen, or we're not going to see it. If you go in there thinking this is going to suck because they're women, then you're fucking wrong. Now, you cannot like this movie. That's perfectly fine. And I do agree that the pacing can be a little off. Some of the jokes didn't land. I think some of the tone was not that great.
It switches tone really
weird. It switches tone where it goes from completely ridiculous and unbelievable to more realistic, yeah. Which
I was kind of telling Chris, it's sort of like, yeah. Sort of like Frighteners meets Ghostbusters, the original Ghostbusters, yeah. Sort of thing. Yeah.
But you know,
I meant to say that in my final thoughts. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you
yeah.
off.
And, oh, good.
This is just the world that we live in. No, you guys, whatever you want to say, go ahead.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, if you say you don't like this movie and you're one of these fanboys, listen to Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Ernie Hudson, like, these are the people who are in it, who yeah. have, who were actually, they live the Ghostbusters.
And Dan Aykroyd was one of the executive producers, mm-hmm. right? So he, you know, had a hand in it. And by the way, Dan Aykroyd isn't exactly a genius. Let's remember his Crystal Skull vodka, which yep. I think is still around.
Oh, but, it's still around.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the actual movie. I think this could easily be a new classic for kids. If I were a 10-year-old girl watching this, I'd be like, I want a proton pack and a dirty jumpsuit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be a Ghostbuster for Halloween.
Yep.
But you know what? Little boys can also do that after seeing this and only seeing this movie. So I think I'm on the same page as JC that I think this is one of the best movies this year. I think it's the best comedy I've seen this year. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 guns that Kate McKinnon has licked.
Mm. No way to follow that up, guys.
No. I want a poster of her licking a gun.
I do for a different reason.
There's plenty of gifts.
I do for the same reason.
Okay. Didn't want to assume.